Yes, people, the time of the morning on the fishing slot on Madhkar Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are having one of the favorites of Adam Kamda. He really loves this man. And alhamdulillah, Adam has gone deep, deep, deep into the ocean. And so I asked Irshad Vaizi, could you join in and perhaps skipper your jet ski? And he said, hey, why not? So Irshad Vaizi has joined us this morning on the fishing slot on Consciously Connected. Irshad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Shabbat and other listeners, alhamdulillah, doing so, we bless. And now, especially those heavy rains and floods, you know, I think Allah has blessed us with some lovely weekend weather.
Alhamdulillah, absolutely, having the weather and so forth. You know, tell me, do fishermen go out fishing on an Eid day?
Well, I hope not, because, you know, on Eid day, you know, it's normally the day that we spend with the family, our slaughtering, and, you know, especially now that we don't get to see family so often, you know, it's days that we have to put fishing behind us and family first, and, you know, so I hope not. But I think you would get the odd fisherman if he got the news that the salmon are out at night or the shad are biting late afternoon. I'm sure he's going to find some excuse to run to the beach. You know, fishing is like an addiction. You know, you can't hear other people catching and you sitting back at home and missing out. So it's, you know, something that we always are ready for. And fishermen, I think there's no fisherman that doesn't have his bag, his rods, his reels, and his tackle ready to move at any given time.
You know what I was thinking, because of sardine run falling in the, you know, the holy days, and alhamdulillah, many, I mean, I tell you, there have been quite a few sightings and quite a few shoals being pulled out. And, you know, it's not peak season yet, Irshad. Talk to us.
No, alhamdulillah, the pilot shoals have finally reached our Durban shores. So they've already started netting at the Durban area, the Addington area. So the pilot shoals are here. Now let's hope that the big main shoal, which we're expecting in probably 2 weeks, will come to our shores. And, you know, the cold weather, you know, like I say, you know, the mango trees, as soon as you see the flowers, you know, it's sardine time. And then the flowers are here, the small mangoes are starting, the sardines are here. So I think we're all in the right time right now for those sardines to now hit our shores.
No, absolutely. And, you know, many in Sepinga Beach are crying. You say, hey, but the sardines are just passing us by. I mean, you know, when last did Sepinga Beach have fun and really had the, you know, sardines are coming in the big way, Inshallah?
You know, last year there were some netting in Sepinga Beach, but not so many. I think they netted about for 2 days in comparison to the 6 weeks that they have a good run. But generally, you know, it's not about which area they decide to come into and which area they skip. It's all got to do with the water temperature, the currents. It's got to do with the tides. It's got to do with the sandbanks. There's so many different factors that actually affect the movement of those sardines. And, you know, we just think that they swim. And, you know, by the way, they just come and say hello to us. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So in order to understand where they're going to be, we need to see the wind, we need to see the current. And, you know, an interesting thing is that if, for example, the wind is coming from the north, the fish would actually come forward. They swim into the current and they come forward. But, you know, it all depends on the temperature, the predators, and they decide on whether they want to go deep or they want to come shallow. And normally when they come shallow, Brother Shafar, it's because the predator fish are chasing them into shallower waters, which makes it easier for the predators to attack them. So that's one of the reasons why they come so close. And also the water temperature. You know, they need a certain temperature to be in and the currents. So alhamdulillah, I think on the Durban coast, we get blessed with all the factors that help us get them close enough to shore to have them netted.
You know, you talk about the factors, the positive factors and so forth. You know, Durban once upon a time had a lot of blue flag status, and a lot of those blue flag status gone to brown and muddy color now. But what I want to know from you, Irshad Vaizi, is, you know, we know a lot of sewage went into the Durban seas, you know, off the coast of Durban, and it was really horrendous. Being Sepingo Beach, our oceans are relatively clean, and you know, cleaner waters, maybe they attract a healthier fish. What's your thoughts on that, Irshad?
Sadly, a report came out 2 days ago where majority of all beaches on the KZN coast have been non-bathing areas purely because of the contamination in the water. This is purely because of bad maintenance on our sewage systems, waste systems, which the politicians and government are not taking seriously. You know, it's sad that I thought that, you know, last year we had so many beach closures, and they would have repaired them by now, and you know, we would have been able to swim in them. But sadly, I think almost 90% or 95% of all the beaches are closed. The only beaches that they are leaving open are few beaches where holidaymakers are, which is the Durban area. And sadly, I don't understand how they do that, because on the left and the right of that, they've closed all those beaches, and you know, water moves, and so they're just being very selective about how they want to play a game with the community by not repairing and just finding an easy way out by closing our beaches. And it's so sad, Brother Shafat.
You know, I know you're someone that watches politicians or watches the councillors and so forth. I mean, what do you think about the rates hike here in Durban, and, you know, no service delivery given to us and so forth? And here we have them, you know, putting our rates up, Irshad. I mean, with like impunity, just, you know, we do what we want to do.
You know, it's, when I look at it, there's only one word that comes to mind, and that is ridiculous. Purely because when you speak to a politician, you know, they're so convincing about why they need to get more money from you. But, you know, there's no politician that doesn't earn a fair amount. And every politician is always blaming the politician before them. And instead of fixing a problem, they're always talking about what the politician messed up before them, instead of using that time to fix the problem that we have on hand. And, you know, it's sadly the politicians that we vote for, the politicians that say we will do this for you and do that for you, unfortunately, you know, I only see them there for the money and not for the people. And that is absolutely sad. You know, we live in, the politicians that even come from the coastal area, they can see what is happening. They grew up on the beaches. They can see the small things that need to be repaired, you know, to save the big picture of the environment being damaged. They don't care. And sadly, I think the only thing they care about is that big check with all the perks that come at the end of the month.
You know, Irshad, whilst you're talking about you know, they're going for the big checks, they go for the perks and so forth. And then, you know, we talk about, you know, they're not taking care of our beaches. You know, how's our mangroves are doing there in, you know, in, down near in spring over near the river mouth? Is it in a healthy situation? You know, recently or a year or two back, you remember many fish were suffocating. There was actually no oxygen in the lake area. You know, there's so much of ammonia and all that. What is our update on that, Irshad?
Unfortunately, nothing has been done. You know, all that happens is the municipality will send somebody to come and investigate, do a report. The politicians will say, we're attending to it. And, you know, suddenly they will make a big noise about how they're going to do this and how they're going to catch the culprits and how they're going to, you know, get everyone to, you know, to abide by the rules. And eventually it just simmers away. They forget about it. And until, you know, the ecosystem is damaged again, then only do they come up and they say, you know, we're going to do this. So it's false promises is all politicians do. And, you know, I always say this. There's one thing I admire about a politician. You know, normally people hate politicians, but there's one thing I admire about them. And that one thing, the thing is, you know, they are so good at convincing us and so good at lying to us that we actually get bluffed by them.
Yeah, you know, that gullible syndrome of people getting caught like a fish, yeah. What bait they put to the people that they get caught? I mean, they go to the informal settlements and they're giving them the same bait, and these people, you know, maybe those people at the informal settlement, every party that comes there, you know, EFF or maybe the ANC and the Inkatha Freedom Party, when they come there, these guys know how to play them. Yeah, give us the money, we'll vote for you. Give us your T-shirt, we'll vote for you. Give us a hamper, we'll vote for you. But in the end, they make their own decision. What's your take on that, Irshad?
No, definitely. It's always just before election time that everybody will start making a noise and giving promises. But you were there for 4 years, you did nothing. But 4 months before your time expires, you want to give promises. And, you know, the thing is, nobody is being held accountable for what they promise. And that's the sad part. So politicians come there, they look at what the salary check is. They want to become politicians. They're going to give these promises. They get big businesses to sponsor these T-shirts or hampers. They take them. They get the masses to, vote for them. And nobody is being held accountable for all the promises that they made. And, you know, a lot of the anger that we see when people are burning tires and blocking roads, you know, as much as I don't agree with it, I disagree. But I also, you know, understand where those people are coming from, because people from those communities or around the communities have came and said, you know what, elect us, we will go there and we will fight for this and we will get this and we will do this and we'll make sure that there's no corruption and we'll bring the money here and we'll do this for the people. And on trust, people give them their votes. And when they voted in, suddenly new cars, fancy talks, come out, and all those promises that they've made to those people who have entrusted them is gone. So just like that, for a T-shirt, for a hamper, you know, people are giving their votes.
Now, Irshad, you know, we looked at once upon a time, we call that area, Ocean Terrace, and more, you know, Dakota, the famous Dakota, once upon a time was a lovely place. You could go there and enjoy yourself, you know, bathing, fishing, and so forth. How has that informal settlement impacted on the shorelines of that side of, you know, Sepingo Beach? And, you know, it was once upon a time a picnic spot where, you know, families went there and enjoyed themselves, and the Tweeny River that was running there, and many used to go and swim and so forth. Tell us, what impact has this informal settlement had there? And it's making world headlines. I mean, the whole world knows what that informal settlement is, and they're having the best view in the world. Talk to us, Irshad, about that phenomena.
You know, if you go on the top of the informal settlement and you look at the ocean, you would realize what a lovely ocean view it has, what lovely area it is for picnicking, for fishing, just to go there and relax and enjoy the tidal pools that are close by, the national tidal pools. But sadly, the informal settlement, the guys and municipality are here to blame, is that they are taking all the waste, and mostly plastic waste, and they are just throwing it, you know, how can I say, in their backyard, which is the shoreline. And, you know, I fish quite often from a boat in that area. And, you know, Shafat, it is absolutely sad to see mountains full of plastic being thrown there. Now, the municipality can put bins for them, and, you know, remove them on a weekly basis. But unfortunately, they are not doing that. And that's also one of the reasons, because I know a few people who live there, and I've asked them, but why do you all throw the dirt there? They said there's no other place to throw the dirt. The municipality doesn't give them any waste bins to dump the dirt in. And, you know, the most convenient thing is to throw it into the ocean. And if you don't understand the ocean, if you don't love the ocean, you're never going to look after the ocean.
Yeah, you know, you make a valid point there indeed. And then those plastics in the, that's going into the ocean. And one of your pet topics is, don't destroy. I mean, the turtles are there and any other fish that, ingest that plastic. They have a horrible death. Talk to us about that, Irshad.
Good governing body. One of the things that I mentioned to the teachers and I've said to them, you know, it's hard to change the older generation. They do not want to listen. But what we can do is we can change the mindset of the future generations. And the way to do that is, one of them was, I said, take them for an excursion to the local Westville prison. Let them go and have a look at what a criminal in a jail goes through, so that as they grow up, they would know the consequences of doing crime. The other thing I mentioned to them was, show the kids videos of how turtles are suffering with string around their necks, plastic that they're eating, and they're suffering a slow death. They need to be educated on these things so that as they grow up, they would understand what the impact of polluting, the impact of crime would be. And we need to start off with the smaller and the younger generation so that they can take care of us when we are older. But unfortunately, nobody wanted to listen to me.
You know, Inshada, when we were growing up, you know, there was this lot of porpoises and dolphins that used to come across our shorelines. I don't know if you remember, and jumping and, you know, enjoying themselves. And what a treat it used to be for us to see them so close to the shorelines. And then we used to have these huge whales coming. And you remember, I don't know, in at school, when they flapped their tails, you could hear like thunderclaps going through. Has that type of, you know, treat that we used to get, is that a dream now? Or can we expect it to, you know, come through? Or will there be a resurgence of such a sight, Rishad?
You know, I hope it can come back. Because when we tell our kids about our stories of walking on the beach and looking at the sunrise, and with the sunrise was the porpoise jumping on the waves, and it was an everyday occurrence. If you went to the sunrise, you would see them. The kids look at you and say, you know, are you making this up from a story? You know, that was real, something that we saw, something that we enjoyed. But over time, when the water started getting polluted, it had chased the fish away, moved them away. It has killed a lot of sea life as well. So all that has now, how can I say, disappeared. To see one whale in the distance is now such a big thing. Yet when we were younger, we would see shoals of whales. You see them close by, a few kilometers away, where you could sit and actually stand on the mountain and admire them for hours. And you know, a lot of the coral reefs are being damaged with plastic. A lot of times when we fish, we pick up plastic buckets, we pick up waste from there, and that will tell you the impact of all the plastic that's slowly flowing into our rivers and into our oceans.
Sad.
So let's hope, inshallah, some educating, that if we can educate our younger generations, there'll be a time when they can enjoy what we were when we were young.
I mean, really, we saw the real beauty of Isipingo Beach, and of swimming into the tidal pools, diving in there, getting up early morning. I mean, my you know, one of my rituals was with my late cousin Imtiaz, Allah Feliz Kabarud Noor and grant him Jannat al Firdaus. We used to walk right from Rivermouth, and we should come out at Mackenzie's, and you know, walk up down Sea Haven and back home. And you know, but what we used to do, we used to have a competition, Inshallah. We used to pick up shells, and I tell you, we used to pick up some of the most wonderful, you know, beautiful shells ever. I think we had the best shells in the world, but no more shells. What's happening? The shorelines are like dead, nothing, no shells. You can't pick up those beautiful shells anymore. Why, Inshallah?
But partly because of the pollution that is now around the shallow reefs that we are having, and the amount of waste that is coming into our shorelines is causing a big problem with the oxygen levels in the water, which is not allowing the life to grow, and that's causing the reason. That's one reason for those shells not to be found anymore. The second reason is that we do not have any policing on our shores anymore. In the old days, you know, when the shad season was out, or early in the morning at 6-7 o'clock, you would find the parks board driving, and they would check on each fisherman. They had their license, the amount of fish they caught. All that has disappeared now. You don't. There's no more policing, and because there's no more policing, you get people going and breaking the bait off the rocks. They call it rock bait. They're using hammers, chisels. They're removing all the life off the rocks. And, you know, freely just walking around and doing as they please. And, you know, that's another major reason why we don't have any more rock life around, because people have actually destroyed that.
You know, in our times, there were legends of the sea. You know, we had the Cha-Chas, and then we had Bobby, and we had, you know, many other people that, you know, they knew when these guys came out, they always had a big fish with them. You know, what made them unique, all these, you know, our elders that had become legends? And perhaps you could name a few more legends that we have presently, Ishad.
You know, sure, the legends, you know, we still have is like Mr. Khan, who loves his ocean. We have a, you know, beetle that we call India that loves the ocean. And, you know, the thing is, The difference with the older generation in comparison to the new generation is the older generation, whatever they did it out of love. They loved the ocean. They loved their fishing. They respected the ocean, you know. So they never left their dirt on the beach and walked away. They would pick the dirt up and they would put it into a bin. You know, it's the small things that they did. When they looked at the ocean, they loved the ocean. They respected it. And I think the love and respect for the ocean has gone. And fishermen now just go there to get as many fish as they can, irrespective of size, quantity. And, you know, that's becoming, I think greed has now taken over. In the old days, when a fisherman took his rod and his reel, it was for the love of the sport. And it was, you know, he used it as his time off in life or his de-stressing. Today, you know, it's just gone to greed. It's about how much of fish I need to catch. It's no more about respecting the ocean.
The respect is gone. And then our tidal pool was a very unique place. I mean, we all dived in, but there were these, you know, I think there's octopus there. There were this like porcupine sea urchins, they call them, and so forth. But I also believe that our tidal pool had some of the best marine, you know, tropical fish there. Talk to us about that, Irshad.
You know, the natural pool was such a nice place to learn how to dive. It was only about 2 meters deep. There was a lot of coral reef that was actually growing in there. I remember as a young boy, I used to go and catch crayfish in there. We used to catch octopus in there. And, you know, there was eels swimming around you in there. Mm. And if you wanted to learn how to go to dive, that would be the place. You know, you would go in there, you would enjoy it. And there was so much of marine life in there that, you know, people were taking them for their tanks at home, returning them and taking the smaller ones. You know, the sea urchins were there. You had to watch that you don't step on them. It was so much of fun. It was such a nice place to learn how to become a diver, how to look at nature in its own space. Today, it's just filled up with sand. All the rock life has been removed, and there's glass bottles in there. It's not even safe to go down. You know, it's sad to see such lovely places. And even this country, it's such a lovely country. But just to watch, you know, deteriorating is actually sad.
Yeah, no, me being this side of the South Coast, you know, then you go, as you go further down, you know, is it still unsafe going, maybe a place like, you know, Pennington and going further down, you know, the other, or going down to Wild Coast. How safe are these areas, Irshad?
Unfortunately, they're not as safe as they used to be anymore. At one time, those areas were much safer than what Durban was. But sadly, now there's a lot of reports of hijackings, fishermen getting held up on the beach for the tackle. So, you know, I think the entire South Africa has now become an unsafe area. And because I think criminals are noticing what people are doing in other areas, they are now doing them in those areas. And sadly, you know, there's no way you can just take a bucky and go with maybe one friend and park off and fish. Those days are now gone. Unfortunately, you'll have to go with a big crew. Sadly, you'll have to carry your firearm for safety. But the fun of fishing is no more there, because you're always turning around to look if your vehicle is still there. You're always turning around to see if somebody's not behind you coming to steal your tackle. And, you know, It eventually puts you off fishing in the night in any area.
Mm. You know, I'm thinking aloud, if you're talking about, yeah, someone coming and taking a tackle, what about, you know, people that bring dogs onto the shorelines? I mean, some dogs are, you know, just by nature, I mean, they'll break and run away from the owner and they come towards you. And perhaps, have any fishermen been attacked by dogs on the shorelines, Irshad?
They actually have been. And, you know, that's purely because the owners are not keeping them on their leash, on strong leashes. I don't see a problem with somebody walking their dog on the beach, on as long as they have a leash on the dog, they have control of their dog. And if the dog cannot be controlled, then I don't think they should take them to a public place. There have been incidents. I've actually experienced one where I was walking in Isipingo Beach and we had like 5 dogs chase us on the beach. And, you know, sadly, people just let their dogs out to on the beach. The owners, let them roam around. And, you know, it's actually sad. You know, the people, like, it always comes back to people don't care. You know, you got to always care about somebody else. You always got to worry about what's going to happen to the other people. And I always say, what you would want in life, do for others.
No, absolutely. And when the dog chased you, what did you do, Vizy?
Well, my luck, I had my two German shepherds with me.
Okay.
So all I did was unclip them and let them do the chasing for me.
Okay, so you too. Okay, mashallah. You had your defense.
But mine were on the leash.
Yeah. As you said, you unclipped them, and so they did the rest. And, you know, we, and it's a Pingo Beach. I mean, this Mufti A.K. Hussein's, you know, nephew, Josie, always, you know, comes to me. Is he still in hospital or is he released, Irshad?
Alhamdulillah, he's released. He's okay. I saw him in the masjid the other day. I haven't got a chance to speak to him, but alhamdulillah, he's much better. He's okay. He's recovered.
Mashallah.
And, you know, talking about that yesterday, sadly, a friend of mine, Shahid Musa, his pharmacy got robbed after Jummah Salah, and his 85-year-old dad actually saw his grandchild being hit with a firearm in the front as they're being robbed. And, you know, he managed to get hold of his firearm and to try and protect his grandchild. Sadly, he was shot and, you know, passed away on the scene. So, you know, this country, when it comes to robberies, hijackings, I think it's gone out of control. And that's the one time we don't hear about our politicians talking about it. Because I think they get free security from the government. So I think it becomes a thing of, you know, you've got to protect yourself, sadly.
Yeah, sad indeed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, it's sad. From Allah we come and unto Allah shall we return. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the marhum Jannatul Firdaus. Yeah, just start talking about Josie. Josie was telling us, Yusuf, that, you know, hey, chef, we must take our beaches back. We must claim our beaches back. I mean, he's so passionate about it. But, you know, we can't do it because the community is scared, Irshad.
Definitely. The community is scared to go out there, go onto the beaches. You know, but, you know, his idea is right. If the community in the masses get together and in the masses they go and to the beach and they clean the beaches and they spend time on the beaches, then I think the criminal elements are going to definitely be scared because the masses are going to be on the beach. It's just like, you know, the sardine shoal. If a predator wants to attack the sardine shoal, he doesn't attack the entire shoal. It will break the shoal up and it will then attack the individuals that are running on their own. And I think that's exactly what's happening to us. We become the sardines that have broken away from the shoals. So we all actually need to get together, stand together, and, you know, find a common ground of going back onto the beaches, being there in our numbers and showing the criminal elements that we are now going to enjoy our beaches and not let them, you know, take advantage of us.
Yeah, Irshad, we run out of time. You know, perhaps a quick parting word from you. 5-6 seconds.
Please educate your kids on how to protect our oceans. They are our next generation that we're going to put our trust in.
Jazakallah khair, Irshad, for being with us. Really informative indeed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.